So if we come back to the Phantom Enterprise period, is there one event, one souvenir especially, that would pop in your mind and kind of synthesize this whole period for you?
The whole Phantom Enterprise? Oh yeah, there's a lot of images that come back to my mind when I listen to about the period. I mean, basically it's about the touring Star Trek cycle, of course. We've been touring many times. I think we went 3 times around the world with this album.
The largest tour ever for the band?
I think so, yeah. So yeah, only good memories.
Alright. So I suppose each time you decided to start to work on a new album, you have to kind of face the same challenge.
Mm-hmm.
In the same time, changing everything and in parallel keeping the identity of the band. So how do you manage that?
You have to question the band. That's the you have to question your own existence. It might sound a little pathetic, but it's not. It's not supposed to sound like that. It's I think it is very essential that you don't only. You should be very self conscious. But on the other hand, also very self-critical. It's a thin line. You shouldn't underestimate your band, but you shouldn't. You should also not be like, okay, everything I put out is going to be great anyway. So it's a thin line. And also, for I think first and foremost, it's even simpler than that. I think just if I like it as a fan, as a metal fan, then I can hope that the rest of the metal world enjoys this as much as I do. So I have to make sure that I like something before I put it out.
But you kind of think about it, or you let your creativity flow?
Oh, yeah.
And you'll see if it's the right direction or not the right direction.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I've already started writing Gods of Violence in title track. It's from 2013. So I've lived with this track for quite a while, and I've listened to it. To me, that's an old song. if, like I said, if I listen to these songs, I do demos that sound very much like the album. It's like almost 80% of the album is already it already exists as a demo without the band, only programmed drums. So if that lives up to my own expectations, I can meet the band and talk to the band and get together with them, and we all work on this together and make it a band effort, rather than, you know. So I guess yeah, that's how I work.
Okay. 5 years since Phantom Enterprise. It's the largest gap between two albums for Creator. Yeah. Why? Is there
Getting
to the tour?
Yeah. Yeah, it's because of the tour. There wasn't a lot of off time in these 5 years, so I've been working a lot.
So it's good. It means the band is still continuing to grow and succeed.
Yeah.
It's more positive than.
It's more positive, but on the other hand, a little exhausting, and so touring is exhausting, and I think in order to be inspired, you need to live your life. If you don't live your life, you don't have anything to say. So, in order to live my life, I had to take this time off and become inspired again and be enthusiastic about new material again.
So you think this 5 years gap could be kind of become the natural rhythm of the band, or you expect to go faster?
I hope
again?
Next time we can come up with an album earlier than.
Okay. You worked again with Jens Bogren.
Mm-hmm.
The sound is very dynamic, modern, but still warm and organic. What was your idea, or what was the goal you asked him to reach, or you wanted to reach when you started the record process?
First and foremost, I would have to say that Jens, I sent a lot of demos to Jens and asked him what he thought. Sometimes it was devastating. Sometimes he was like, oh, this sucks. And then I had to make sure that I can present him something that doesn't suck in his mind. It was a give and take situation.
So you trust him so much that he isn't part of the the writing session? No, not writing himself, but you said yes, no, yet.
Sometimes he questions things, then I question things, and sometimes I go back and tell him, no, that's the way it is. And sometimes he's right. So it's, like I said, it's give and take.
So you have the final cut, but you taking account of his opinion,
mm-hmm.
right?
Absolutely. And he's a very honest person. He's not the biggest fanboy of the band, but he's definitely very, very honest when it comes to voicing his opinion,
mm-hmm.
which can be good or bad. You have to have a very strong self-conscious in order to live with his criticism sometimes,
but
to say the least.
You went through this process because you knew he would produce the new album, or it was he kind of as a new stylist within the band, kind of the unofficial fifth member. How do you put his contribution?
He's just he has something that we don't have. He has a different perspective. Sometimes as a band, you tend to be very enthusiastic about your new material, but somebody with fresh ears wouldn't be so enthusiastic, because that's somebody that just listens to the music without being a part of it. So yeah, he is the fifth member for the time when we're in the studio. Yeah.
Okay. And he has no contribution to the creative part. I mean, he won't say you should try this solo or.
Oh yeah, yeah. Oh yes. Very much, very much. Arranging—that's what you call it.
Yes.
Also,
moving parts
with my lyrics. You know, sometimes I have an idea, and to me it makes sense, but to somebody from the outside, the lyrics don't. And if you have Jens there, he's very honest. You know, he tells you, okay, what do you mean by saying this and that? And I'm like, I mean this, but he's like, I don't get it. And then we try to come up with a new line. The stronger, the better. To him, it's all like, the stronger, the better.
And do you have some example on this record, or maybe the previous one, where his contribution or kind of his arrangement on the song changed completely the way it sounds, or mm-hmm. even
there's
the structure?
There's a bonus track on the new record called Warrior Heart that is completely changed. I don't know for the better or for the worse, because it's a bonus track. It's not a bad track, but it's a bonus track. That he changed that song completely.
So from your demo, it's light and right.
It's very different. Very, very different.
Right. If we try to compare the new record with the Phantom of Christ, I had the feeling you go even further, more melodic, but in the same time more brutal.
Oh, thank you.
The contrasts are obvious, even within the songs. The God of Violence mm-hmm. is the where you have the same time some almost soft moments and mm-hmm. the brutality of the song. Mm-hmm. How do you reach such results, and do you write keeping that in mind, wanting that, or it's the creative flow which goes that
I guess
way?
It's the creative flow, like you said. When you're an artist, you shouldn't think like that. You shouldn't make yourself, how do I put this, you should not want something. You shouldn't want something to achieve something that you might not achieve by. It should be a natural thing, like I said. I mean, the key word is natural. If it's not natural, it's useless.
But does it mean it's not your head talking, but your guts talking?
Heart
or heart?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yeah.
And so we kind of imagine you in, I don't know, sits in your place with a guitar in hand, or I don't know, your home or studio, and you start with the melody and everything, and then you go where it goes, and then after that you come back later on. How does it, on a daily basis, how does it work?
That's how it works. Absolutely. It's exactly how it works. I sit there with my guitar, I have my iPhone, and I record something. Then I book a studio, a small demo studio with my friend, and we program drums, and we see how the structure should be, and we work a little bit on new structures, and then we go back. I go back home and listen to it, and I'm like, this could be better. This could be better. And it's a long process, you know.
And so, does it mean that in your iPhone right now you have, you know, tens or hundreds of ideas mm-hmm. that could become future songs of them?
Not 100, but maybe 3 or 4, because I use a lot of the ideas that are on my iPhone now for the last record.
So for each period during 2 albums, you're kind of stacking ideas within the device, can be an iPhone or whatever.
Yeah.
And after that, when you decide, okay, let's try to work on new songs, you go into this chest and see if there's something good.
Yeah, maybe I get inspired by a rough idea and to write something really good. I think as an artist you always have to capture, it's about capturing moments, you know. You go through life and you see something, and I'm not only inspired by music, you know, I go to see
everything can be inspiring. For example, one of the previous artists told me the story. Once he was in Charles de Gaulle Airport here, and one of the jingle of the airport, saying anything, and one of the announcements kept in his mind running, and he did something with it, not exactly jingle obviously, but changing. Does that example happen already for you?
Absolutely. That's why the iPhone is such a great invention, you know, having this recording device on your hand all the time. Sometimes it's a melody, sometimes it's a movie. You go to a movie and then you hear one sentence and you make that a song. Or you hear like one quote, or you read something and you like what's being said in that, and you just come up with something. So it's not only music. Music is only a quarter of the inspiration.
All right. Also, we can for the new album, we can say very impressive work on the guitar solos, especially the parts of Sammy. How do you work together with him? His solos and your rhythmic parts, how does it fit together?
I come up with a rough, like I have the demos, and he's coming up with I write the solos, and I give him a rough idea of how I want the solos to sound, and he comes up with his own. So it's very much, he has a free hand, he can do whatever.
And it's a long process, or is such?
Well, Sammy is very good when it comes to that, you know. He doesn't write music. On this album, actually, he wrote like two parts, 4 songs, or 3 parts. But he doesn't write music. He doesn't write a song. So he writes
bits and pieces.
He arranges his solos and that's his contribution to the music.
All right. Talking about influence. I think there's still a big, and it was mentioned before, new wave of British heavy metal, part of it. And
it's in our genes, you know. The thing is, I've grown up with this kind of stuff.
And also, I think, kind of old school German heavy metal, Accept style.
Yeah, absolutely.
You toured with them in 2012 or 2013 in the US. Once again, it's part of your male culture, but during the tour you had the opportunity to exchange with this guy you know for years. One way or the other, does musicians, especially on tour, kind of influence each other one way or the other? Or just you're all digging from the same roots?
Basically, that's more like it. We exchange in a way of talking about, like, basically what influences us, but we would never, doesn't work like that. You see the band and you're like, oh, this riff is great, I'm gonna rip that off. It's more like, okay, now I know where it's coming from, and it's mostly like personal things, you know, personalities that click or don't click. In the perfect world, they click, and with most of the bands that we've toured with, it clicked. It was really always like a nice time, great time.
Good. Especially considering the amount of show you're doing, it's much better, because even for your own life, as you mentioned, it's always better to have a good
nice people
ambiance with the other one. Which instruments did you use for the opening of God of Violence?
It has a nylon acoustic, a steel acoustic, a sitar, and a harp.
All right.
12-year-old girl plays the harp.
All right. Very nice. We're not so used in Creator to use kind of non-rock instruments. Mm-hmm. Why such idea there?
It just happened. You know, you go in the studio and you think like, how can we make this one part better and more deep? And it was supposed to be, when I wrote this part, it was supposed to sound Greek.
Mm-hmm.
And since the Gods of Violence was, the title was influenced by Greek mythology. And that's how it came about. You know, we were just working on it in the studio. So the final version had all these non-rock instruments, like you mentioned.
But you have the idea. You're in a studio. You try with samples, and if you think it's good, you go to real instruments, or
no?
Do you have a first try?
No. We have it in our. We don't work with samples at all.
On demos. No, you don't try the.
Oh, no, yeah, yeah.
On demos, you try the idea with samples.
Yeah, exactly.
After that, you go real.
Yes. On demos, yes. There's on Satan's Reel, there's horns even, and the horns we tried in the demo before.
All right. Also, the way you sing on this album, with little pieces in clear voice,
mm-hmm.
Sounds great. I don't know if you did that the last time, or maybe Endorama. I don't know if you did that in the album next.
Mm-hmm.
Will you try to continue to experiment in that trend?
Whatever the song demands, you know.
That's the song that decides if you go clear
exactly,
or...
Exactly. So if the song demands me singing in a song, soft voice, it depends on what I wanna express.
For example, in Death Becomes My Light,
mm-hmm.
what make you go clear?
Death Becomes My Light is a song about a near-death experience. So I wanted to set the vibe of the shock that you feel in the moment of the end of your life and the moment of your death. And you're like, ooh.
So you needed something softer?
I needed something softer. And then the song explodes. And it continues the story. It's storytelling, classical storytelling. It's like the intro is very much sets you in the mood for what's to come.
Okay. We did not get access to the lyrics, but on Fallen Brothers, there's mm-hmm. a small spoken part in German.
Mm-hmm.
Why did you... Is there a reason or kind of a hidden message in the fact
that it is a friend of mine, a German singer, Dagobert, who's a very great lyricist. And he gave me this poem, and I gave him the lyrics, and he came up with this poem. It's very dark, it's very sinister. If you listen to it, it's like the German romantic, like 19th century vibe to it. So it really gives like unfortunately it's in German, but if you translate it, it will make sense. It's very very poetic.
It will be written in the booklet or
yes,
okay.
Yes.
Cool. And there also for this song and Lion with the eagle mm-hmm. wings, there's kind of an epic wind mm-hmm. on songs, which is also a bit unusual. A creator mm-hmm. with much darker and everything. Mm-hmm. Was it important one way or the other within this album, Gods of Violence, which mm-hmm. is pretty dark, to have a little glimpse of light?
Oh, it's the whole album is glimpse of light. Oh, everything. From darkness into light. That's like we said even on an EP in the 80s. We're always like, we you know, especially like in these times, you're surrounded by a lot of negativity. Political tyranny, terrorism, you name it.
Environment, yeah.
Yeah. And the only way to deal with these things, in my opinion, is to keep your faith in music and in the things that make you happy. Anything else is not important. If you lose your faith in the positive, you're lost. And you will lose, you know, you will lose your life is going to be a mess because you're captured by these negative force, except instead of like celebrating your own life.
Okay, let's talk a little about cover pictures.
Mm-hmm.
So first of all, why did you provide two cover pictures, one for North America and one for the US?
That was a coincidence. We were working with Marcelo Wasco, who created some art for some t-shirts in America for us, and South America, he's from Brazil, I think. And I like that one artwork so much that I was like, ah, man, I wish we could make this a single or something, you know, something. I talked to Gerardo Martinez, who is the representative for Nuclear Blast in America, and he's like, oh, why not taking this as the American cover? And I, first I didn't really know what to think about that idea, but then the more I thought about it, it was like, yeah, it's something special, you know, because I like both cover art. The one for its simplicity, and for the other one, the European version for its detailed, bizarre, surrealistic vibe.
So especially for the European one, so you talk in detail with Jan Meininghaus. Mm-hmm. He's used to do your some of your artwork. Mm-hmm. How do you work with it? You give him a precise idea what you want?
Yeah.
Or you let him work and with a few ideas?
The thing was on this album was a little tricky. I gave him a precise idea of what I wanted, and we came up with an artwork that didn't came out the way I once wanted it, because I thought it would have been a lot more what I thought it was, you know. I had the artwork and I was like, it looked too power metal, and I was like, it has to be more brutal, more surreal, more dark. And then we came up with the other artwork. We had three different versions of the Gods of Violence artwork this time, so it was a little bit of a rough a long way to get where we are.
Okay. The lineup is stable for like years now. Mm-hmm. To, how do you do? Maturity for all
bands. Maturity and then respect. I think those are the key words. It's not always easy, I tell you this much, but it's
especially at the beginning.
But we have to respect each other. That's, I guess it has to do with maturing and getting older. You know that if you exchange members, you will not have no more problems, but you will have different problems. So I rather stick to the problems I know.
All right. So two last things. When you started Tyrant in 1982, in Essen, Germany, what was your idea first, and could you even imagine to be still doing the same thing 35 years later?
No way, man. This is like, we're kids, man. We're like, this wasn't even to be taken serious, you know what I mean? It was like, fuck, man, this is, we're kids, we're trying to learn instruments, and we're like, people always, like from nowadays' point of view, if you think of the time, 1982, you gotta imagine, we got into a rehearsal room because our drummer, Ventor, he has a drum kit, he got a drum kit, and I had a guitar, and we tried, none of us could play anything, and we just went in there and tried. So there wasn't a plan of a career. It was more like a, let's do something, let's try to start a band, and we never would have imagined.
And in retrospect, do you think there's a key moment or a key event in your career that when you understood that it wasn't just a hobby, it went to, might be your professional?
Probably Extreme Aggressions.
That's
got more professional.
Where it goes,
yeah.
It went full professional.
Yeah. I mean, I was always, I've never had like a day job or something. None of us. So, yeah, we've always dreamed of becoming professional musicians, and we just held on to the dream.
All right. And last thing, you shot a video clip for Gods of Violence.
Mm-hmm. You like it?
Yeah, it's pretty.
It's intense.
Dark, yeah. But that's supposed the idea. Once again, you have the Greek figures, mm-hmm. You have this Greek soldier, mm-hmm. And so. Do you have other video clips planned?
Yeah, it's a trilogy. We have one for Gods of Violence, one for Satan's Wheel, and one for Totalitarian Terror. Those are linked.
Right.
It's like a video trilogy.
And in general, is video clip a pleasure or necessary pain?
Oh, it's
because you're doing stuff over and over and over.
It's visualizing your musical ideas. It's a form of art. It's its own form of art.
Yeah, but doing it, you're doing the same stuff again.
Oh yeah, but with a group of 13 people, they're so professional that you don't have to do like 200 times. You only have to do like a very few times. So I think for these video clips, I think 5 times in a row. That's still.
And the idea for the image or the story behind is always comes from the band or might come from the director.
In this case, both.
In this case, exchanging idea until you get the right.
Yeah.
And where did you shoot?
Where? In Poland.
In Poland.
Wrocław.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Pleasure.